There is one tool that we have as plaintiff's lawyers that changes the whole calculation for an insurance company. And that is to put an insurance company in a situation where they have potential extra contractual exposure. Insurance companies set reserves. They reevaluate reserves. As long as they pay within policy limits and within reserves, everybody's happy. Doesn't matter if it's a $1 billion policy or a $10,000 policy or a $30,000 policy. But if they pay $500, $1,000, $10 million above policy limits, it causes really big issues. And so what you have to do is evaluate, we're going to get there in a minute, but first evaluate, is there enough insurance in the case for the claim that you have? If the value of your claim is less than the policy limits, then your Stowers demand or setting up bad faith may not be a policy limits demand, which we can talk about a little bit later. A lot of folks think that, well, a Stowers is just a policy limits demand, and I just make a policy limits demand in every case. And there are reasons not to do that, and we don't do that. What you have to do is evaluate what the claim is worth, which requires discovery, and also what your total coverage is, which I think is a kickoff to the next section, Ray, which is one of the most overlooked aspects of this area. And I can talk about it, or you can,
sure,
Ray.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to actually throw it over to Kent, because Kent, you and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Something that we always sometimes struggle, but it's always in our forefront, is getting all copies of the insurance policies. And Kent, can you talk a little bit about that from the defense perspective when you're defending an insured? On getting your hands on the insurance companies and the import from that angle, that side of the V.
Sure. I mean, I want my client to have as much coverage as they possibly can for a variety of reasons. One is, I mean, you don't want to be hit above limits. You don't want to leave some coverage out there that you never filed a claim on, and then you discover it after the case is over, and you know, then you turn in your claim and they go, well, you know, we got to deny coverage here because you didn't put us on notice early enough and it prejudiced our defense. So you got to look at the case early on when you get a defense assignment and you find out, you know, talk to the client. Well, whose car were you driving? Was your car broken down? There's lots of things that you need to go into that involve coverage that we don't really have time to discuss today, but make sure you understand what policies are out there. Were they on the course and scope of their employment? You know, a lot of times people overlook commercial coverage that they have access to, and they're sitting here defending a case under a $30,000 policy, and lo and behold, they got $1 million in commercial coverage that they haven't even turned in a claim on. So make sure you understand the circumstances under which your client was, you know, what car was he driving? Whose car was it? What circumstances were, so you can find out all the policies that are applicable. The second reason I like to have my clients to have as much coverage as possible is I like to try cases. And if you got a big policy, you're more likely to get to go to trial than if you have a $30,000 policy and you're, you know, you get a Stowers demand. Well, you know, that case is going to settle. So for a variety of reasons, that those are the top two right there. Find out what coverage your clients have. Get the insurance policies, produce the policies, and just go.
Yeah, thanks, Kent. That's really helpful. And sometimes I wish that you know, all the defense lawyers we dealt with were as diligent in getting the policies. And Chris, this is something I want to kind of talk to you about. You know, we've kind of moving on the slides. We talk a lot about, you know, some of the things we hear back after we try to get an insurance policy. And Chris, I wanted you to sort of talk a little bit about getting the full policy and then also making sure you have it.
Great. Can you kick back one slide, Ray, just so we can make sure we know the backdrop here. I really respect and appreciate Kent's position, and I think he's right about that in terms of representing his client's interests. I think his perspective is a little bit unique. I'll first talk about what we do and what I think is the best practice, and then what I think are best practices for defense too, piggybacking off what Kent has said. The single most important thing, if you represent plaintiffs, injury victims in insured cases, and you're going to take away anything from this discussion, the single most important thing I can tell you is you must get all insurance copies, policies at the very beginning of the case. We have, this is something I've really learned through the school of hard knocks or trial and error. I sat in too many post-verdict mediations where I got verdicts for tens of millions of dollars. And then I find out for the first time after trial that there's an insurance policy I didn't know about. And there's somebody in control of the settlement of the case that I'd never even talked to. Obviously, there's no reason to have that happen. Here's what we do now. And I think this is not as much of a lawyer strategy procedure issue as it is a law firm practice issue. We have a process when the disclosure responses come to us. Immediately, staff review those disclosure responses. They look at the insurance policies. They input that into the system with descriptions, policy limits, amounts, type of coverage, everything else. And there is a letter that is automatically generated back to the defense lawyer that goes out immediately that says, we're in receipt of the following policies. Please confirm whether there are any additional or excess or umbrella policies which may provide coverage for this claim. And then we track that down to the point of a declaration, a written statement by the lawyer, or if we don't get an adequate response, immediately moving to a compel order, not later in the case. I'm not going to even try to tie my shoes in a case to do anything until I know what every insurance policy says, because otherwise, I don't know if I'm fighting my case into coverage or out of coverage.